Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny and owner of My Best Friend Dog Training.
Karen and I want to congratulate you today for tuning into the best talk radio program in New Jersey that talks all about our favorite companion pet, the dog. If you're having any behavioral issues, health issues, dietary or digestive issues with your dog, you'll be able to hear what the experts say about resolving these problems. We regularly talk to experts in this field who are the best of the best. We interview authors, veterinarians, shelter and rescue workers, other trainers in various locations throughout the United States, and Karen and I are always talking about behavior and training. You're always welcome to get your questions answered or to make comments about your dogs or about any dog-related topic by calling us here at WNJC 1360 AM from 10 to 10:30 every Thursday morning. Today, give us a call at 856-227-1360. That number again is 856-227-1360. If you're not able to call us, you can email me by going directly to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com. If you want to email Karen with a question, her email address is www.mybestfriend2@yahoo.com, and that 2 is numerical. If you would like to hear any previous programs you may have missed, you can also go to our websites to listen to the podcasts of those shows. Before we get started this morning, please let me tell you what services I offer in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Hi, Karen. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you? I got a little bit of vertigo here.
Oh, my God. You're spinning around in circles. Are you chasing your tail?
Huh?
Are you chasing your tail?
Oh, my goodness. Crazy.
Oh, I had that, too, a couple of times. It's very unsettling, to say the least.
It is.
Yeah. So, Karen, did you, by any chance, hear about the incident in North Philadelphia that was on the news yesterday?
I did.
Is that incredible?
You know, I just want to let people know who are listening to this. You know, dog attacks that end up in a death are rare. I mean, we hear it on the news all the time, and it's frightening and it's scary. But, you know, just to put it a little bit in perspective, you have a better chance of getting struck and killed by lightning.
Mm.
I mean, killed by lightning than you are getting killed by a dog. So I just want to kind of throw that out there.
Right.
But why don't you continue, Rini?
Well, the thing is about this incident, and I want to invite callers, if you are aware of the incident, if you have any comments to make about it, or if you have any kind of theories behind what happened. The thing is, if you're talking about pit bulls, The media jumps on this like crazy. Here's the thing, if you didn't hear the news. Supposedly, there's five pit bulls that live in a home in North Philadelphia. The thing that concerns me more than anything is that these dogs have gotten out and run through the neighborhood scaring everybody, and everybody's afraid to be out when the dogs are out because they have children there. But these dogs have actually attacked people and bitten people, and they showed the bite wounds on the news, and you can see it on videos. These wounds are pretty deep. So somebody isn't, you know, taking care of their dogs appropriately or properly. The other thing is that I wanted to make mention of is that if these were golden retrievers, or if these were boxers, or if these were shih tzus, it probably would have gotten a minor headline in the paper, and you may not have heard about it on the news. So,
can I interject just for a second, Rena?
Yeah.
I just did a consult this week with a gentleman in North Carolina who was mauled by his giant schnauzer.
Wow.
The dog was a great dog. It was sweet and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm suspecting the dog may have had a seizure of some sort.
Okay.
But I just want to let you know, there's plenty of maulings that go on. I mean, the police were dispatched. I mean, the guy literally had to escape from his house.
Wow.
And his family had to escape the house because the dog was so uncontrollable. It attacked him multiple times. Like, mm-hmm. The dog seemed to have calmed down a bit. The guy went to the sink to rinse his arms off, and boom, the dog attacked again.
Yeah.
It was multiple attacks in one incident. It was a giant schnauzer, and it never made a headline.
Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, there's such prejudice out there toward this breed. I'm sure you've worked with many of them. I've worked with many of them. I've really never worked with a pit bull that I could say was vicious or who was a healthy dog that attacked either another, you know, another human. Let's be real here. They are known for being dog aggressive. And these are things that we expect because people continue to breed them for fighting. And they're not breeding that gene out of the dog. So that is, not that it's appropriate, but it's kind of, if I get a call because a pit bull is not liking other dogs, I'm not shocked. But these dogs are really bred to be wonderful family pets. They're usually very good with people. They're very tolerant of children, and their childish antics with pulling their tails, pulling their ears, and they don't bite children. So this is a specialized case that has been, you know, really publicized greatly. Karen, I want to tell you, we have a gentleman on the line, and his name is Bob, and let's get him on the line and see what he wants to talk about. Good morning, Bob.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to say that I've owned pit bull type dogs for over 14 years, and I go to a shelter almost daily and work with pit bull type dogs.
Okay.
And I don't really think that they deserve the bad reputation that they get, but on the other hand, they are a very strong dog that takes a lot of exercise and training.
Mm-hmm.
I think this incident in Philadelphia is certainly a tragedy.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it could have easily been avoided had the dogs been exercised, which, reading the newspaper article, it says that they were rarely seen outside and basically kept in a very small row house.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So they were kind of set up for failure, but do you blame the whole thing? Do you think on the fact that they were under-exercised? Do you think that maybe somehow these dogs were kind of taught to be severe guard dogs? I mean, what do you think could have happened here, knowing the breed as well as you do?
It could have been that they were taught to be guard dogs, but I see this in the shelters a lot, where a dog will become very possessive of its kennel if it's not allowed out enough.
Right.
And I would imagine that these dogs were very possessive of the home. And the other thing that struck me when I read it, they said the lady that was killed was afraid of the dogs.
Right.
Dogs can sense that.
Absolutely.
They can immediately sense if you're afraid of them,
right,
which makes you not be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of dog trainers that, you know, say the human should be the alpha. And I believe with any of the big power breed dogs, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, Dobermans, and Pit Bulls, that you have to be a leader. And as the level of the power breeds go up, so does the level of responsibility.
Right. And do you think it was pretty irresponsible for these dogs to have been allowed out running loose through the neighborhood, the way the neighbors were complaining about that? And did you see the pictures of the dog bites that they received?
Yes. That is what really is kind of a shocker there, that the dogs had bitten and then were returned to the owners.
Right.
I mean, a responsible owner would have, I hate to say that, gotten rid of the dogs right then, or called in a professional trainer, behaviorist,
mm-hmm.
and said, hey, I need some help here, I'm in over my head, and, you know, what can we do? But
mm-hmm.
that didn't happen.
No, and it surprised me that animal control brought them back after the biting people like this. That, to me, is incredible.
It is incredible.
I know. So one of the things that struck me, Bob, is the fact that I think when the news first came out, the Sun had said that the only one who really had any control over these dogs was the husband. And that kind of raised a red flag to me, because if you were married, and I don't know if you are or not, and your wife was scared of these five dogs in your home, would you keep them in the home? I mean, what kind of an awful situation is that to live with, where you wake up every morning and you're afraid for your safety because of these dogs?
Yes. I mean, I think that if you're going to have five dogs and five rather powerful dogs, that everybody in the family, no one should be afraid of them. I remember once I was at the shelter and somebody wanted to adopt a very large pit bull.
Right.
And his comment was, well, I'll keep the dog in the garage because my wife is definitely afraid of this dog. And I was like, you know, I just made it known to the front desk, don't adopt this dog, Al.
Oh, my God. Really? That's a good thing he said that, too, because otherwise that dog would have been kept in the garage and nobody would have known the difference.
Can I make a comment?
Absolutely.
There's something mentally wrong with somebody that wants to keep a dog that other family members are afraid of. There's some sort of underlying either ego problem or self-esteem problem that this person feels that they need to have a dog that's so powerful and scary that everybody around him is scared. You know, I hear this time and time again with these bully breeds. They call them bully breeds because these dogs are easily bullied. They bully, but they're also easily bullied back. If you're as firm as they are. And I'm sorry, but you know what? Five pit bulls, five dogs is enough for anybody. I mean, geez, I don't know anybody who has five dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy to begin with, and the dogs running around the neighborhood and all this kind of nonsense. You know, I wouldn't say that the dogs were trained to be attack dogs, because if a dog is trained to be an attack dog, it's going to be a very good dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a friendly dog. It's going to be a dog that lets strangers in the house that are coming to visit. It's going to be a dog that's friendly to kids and people on walks and friendly to other dogs. A dog that is trained, and I'm using trained, I'm emphasizing the word trained, to attack, is a dog that has incredible amount of self-control, that listens to every word and every command of its owner and those that live in that household, and will only act upon the attack mode when it is cued to do so. A dog that randomly runs around the neighborhood and attacks people, attacks its own owners, is not a trained dog in any way whatsoever. And why people feel that they need to have a dog to protect their family, I don't know. Strap in, kids. Get an alarm system. Okay? And I'm so tired of hearing people wanting to get dogs to protect their home. I mean, how weak are you as an individual? I'm sorry I'm going on a rant.
That's
but
right.
How weak are you as a person that you need another species to protect you? Get an alarm system. That's what you need to protect your house. Don't take another species that has no clue on even how to communicate with the species they live with, obviously. If they did, they wouldn't be attacking their own owners, you know, to protect your home. There, I said it.
You said a mouthful, girlfriend. You did good. Bob, so thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate that. And I hope you have a great day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
You know, you really did hit the nail on the head, and I'm sure you see these people all the time where people say, well, I have children, and I want to make sure that my dog protects my children. Well, I want you to tell me and our listeners what you tell your clients, but here's what I tell my clients. Dogs that live in the home are naturally protective of their family because they are a resource and they provide good things for the dog. So if I came to your house and I took a shot at you, if I smacked you on your face and your two dogs were sitting there watching this, I don't think that they would tolerate it very well. But you don't have to train your dogs to protect you. They're going to have that natural instinct to do it.
Let me get rid of some of the mystery surrounding the pit bull terrier.
Okay, absolutely.
The pit bull was not used for protection of a home. The pit bull, when it was bred in this country, was brought here and raised here and bred here to protect homesteads out west.
Okay, right.
They were also raised and bred to protect children from coyotes, from wolves, and from animals that would do them harm.
Mm-hmm.
These animals were not bred to fight, okay, which is a whole other subject. I won't even get into that today. These dogs are bred to fight their own, okay? And then they haven't been used since the 1800s or early 1900s for the job that they were really bred to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to protect a homestead, a farm,
right,
and lots of acreage. Mm-hmm. These dogs were not bred to protect a small house in Philly.
There you go. Everything that you say. Listen, guys, I want to remind you that our numbers today to call on this subject or any other subject regarding dogs, our numbers are 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. Karen, do you want to tell everybody what you do up in your neck of the woods?
Sure, I have a commercial I'd like to play, if that's okay.
That's okay, girl.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Hi, this is Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny, and I want to welcome you back to Thursday in the Doghouse. If you have a question or you would like to give us a call at 856-227-1360. The phone number again is 856-227-1360. And today the topic is pit bulls and an attack that happened, killed a woman in the local Philadelphia area. And I just want to read an email that I got from a Roberta who lives in Union, New Jersey, which is in my neck of the woods, and here's what she has to say. I have a pit bull who is a terrific protector of my home, and I want to breed him. Can you give me some suggestions on how I can go about breeding my dog? Okay, for my first suggestion, get your dog neutered, okay? Because when you tell me, I'm sorry, Roberta, but I got to kind of lay it out how it is. You've probably listened to the show for a while, so you know I don't hold punches back, okay? I tell you how it is. When you tell me that your dog is a terrific protector of my home, you're telling me that your dog is under-socialized, your dog either has a genetic form of fear or aggression, and that is not what you want to breed. I know you may love your dog, he might be wonderful with your family, you feel really safe with him around, but we are trying to breed this out of this breed. Okay? We don't want to continue this line of genetics that is aggressive to people, that's aggressive to kids. These dogs cannot make a discerning decision on who's a good person, who's a bad person. If your dog is protective of your home, they're protective of everybody. So for the sake of your dog and the sake of its puppies, who I can tell you will either be end up dead, okay, from a euthanasia needle because they bit somebody, or they're going to languish in a shelter the rest of their lives. Now, I know you love your dog. That's not what you want for its babies, okay? Also, you know, breeding a dog takes a great amount of experience. I mean, the breeders have been breeding. I mean, to really just sell your first litter, you got to be doing this for about 10 years.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really do, because you want to make sure that that line that you're breeding is 100% perfect,
mm-hmm.
or at least as close to that as possible. Mm-hmm. And breeders will breed for over about 10 years before they can sell a good litter. Because they want to make sure that all the genetics are in line. They got good dogs. They're confident. They're friendly. They're good with kids. They're easily handled. I mean, these are the kinds of things you want to look for when you go to a breeder. Also, you also have to be prepared if you are going to be a breeder. One, you have to be AKC or at least UKC, because the pit bull's not recognized as the AKC in the United States. You want to be certified, okay? You also want to be prepared that you have to take that dog back. If someone gets a puppy from you and that dog attacks somebody or it bites, it could be the most vicious dog on the face of the planet. And guess what? You got to bring it back in your house. You have to let it live out the rest of its life with your family. And if you're not prepared to do that, you're not a good breeder and you have no business doing breeding. I know I've done the same thing. I felt the same way when I got my German Shepherd. He was so sweet. He was so this. He was so that. But you know what? When I really sat back and think about it, he had some issues. If a dog even has one issue, you don't breed it. Okay?
Yeah, that's
my
good
advice. What do you have to say about this, Renee?
I can't add too much to what you already said. I think that you said put the nail in the wall right there. The fact that if a dog has a single behavioral issue, your chances of transmitting that gene to that dog's offspring are pretty good. So it could affect one of the litter, it could affect half the litter, or it could affect all of the litter. We don't know. There's no guarantee that your dog is going to have perfect puppies. Even when
right.
people, this is the thing about breeding. Even good breeders, here's my experience. Even with good breeders, when they breed a pair for the first time, it's always a crapshoot, Karen, because they don't know what the litters are going to be like. And truthfully, when I talk to people who want advice prior to getting a puppy, then I always tell them, ask the breeder, how many times has the mother and father been bred before? If they say this is a first time breeding, I'll always tell them either wait until those dogs have been bred a second or at least a third time, or go find another breeder who has litters on the ground from parents who have been bred multiple times together. And all throughout the year. One breeding per pair is sufficient.
Well, I'm going to interject here just for a second.
Uh-huh.
And this is why my statement that it takes 10 years to breed a really good line of dogs.
Right.
We're not only concerned about the father and the mother of these dogs. We're concerned about the aunts, the uncles, the grandparents, the great parents, the grandparents, and the great grandparents of
right.
these dogs.
Absolutely.
You can have two great dogs that had a set of great parents. So now this is like two generations now, okay, of wonderful dogs. But if there was a great grandparent
mm-hmm.
that had territorial aggression issues
mm-hmm.
or fear aggression issues or an aunt that had it,
mm-hmm.
guess what? It's in that bloodline somewhere.
That's right.
So it takes years to do this. It takes years to breed this out.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, right now, and for the past, I think it's something, you know this, something for like the past 15 years or 10 years, they've been studying a line of pointers at the National Institutes of Health
mm-hmm.
That have inherited fear
right.
Problems. And these dogs are so fearful, I mean, they can't even, like, walk straight.
Wow.
And they're proving that it's genetically inherited. These fears are genetically inherited. And it was further proved by experiments that, I believe it was Scott and Fuller, didn't they do the experiment with the silver fox?
No, they didn't.
It was
a Russian, Balyev, his name.
Oh, okay. Well, they did experiments with the silver fox where they took silver foxes and over a series of years kept breeding the more docile, friendly foxes that were easily able to be handled,
mm-hmm.
and they created a line of silver fox that was, it was almost domesticated. It
mm-hmm.
was easily handled. It was friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is how long it takes to create a line that's friendly. And I don't care what breed you I don't care if it's Pitbulls, I don't care if it's a Maltese,
mm-hmm.
or a Cockapoo, whatever these little breeds out there, or even the sweetest dogs, you know. I mean, you really have to take your time. It's a very specific science, and you better have a background in ethology and evolutionary biology and really know a lot about genetics before you start tinkering with living things like that.
We also have to consider, as far as the genetic background of the litter, is their health history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is another reason why so many dogs now are prone to horrible diseases. Look at the cancer and heart disease that we see in boxers. Look at the little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. They have heart disease and they die of heart disease,
right,
at young ages. So these breeders are not breeding these genes out, and I just think that's totally irresponsible. It's not just behavioral. It's health. It's everything. It's conformation. I mean, if you buy a dog who has bad conformation, what are you going to have? You're going to have joint and ligament and arthritis problems.
Right.
So form follows function. And so you know, there's a lot to consider. It drives me crazy when people call me and say, I love my dog. He's so cute. We just want to, breed him and have a good time. And, it's just going to be fun. Well, it's not going to be fun. It's a lot
right.
of work and it's a lot of expense. And if you don't do the work and if you can't afford the expense, then who's going to suffer? Your dog is going to suffer, and the litter is going to suffer, and the people who wind up with that litter are going to suffer.
Right. You know what? I want to bring up another point, and I have an email here that I want to read, and I want you to answer, Renee. They're from your area.
Okay.
But, you know, we're talking about how the dogs got out of the house and how they didn't come, how they, you know, they just ran around randomly.
Right.
And we got an email. Do you think we have time? Do you have time to answer?
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay.
We're going to go over time.
My 3-year-old beagle loves to escape from my house. My wife and I are constantly chasing him around our neighborhood when he gets out. When we call him, he'll turn around, stop, and then look at us, but as soon as we get a few feet away from him, he'll run even farther. I'm afraid he'll get hit by a car. How can we teach him to come when we call him?
All right.
Go ahead, Renee.
All right. Okay, so here we have a similar situation, except we're talking about a beagle, not a pit bull. Listen, when dogs do things that they want to do, whether they're appropriate things or inappropriate things, practice makes perfect. So this beagle, who is a hound dog, first of all, should not be out in the yard unsupervised so that he can run off. He's either jumping the fence or he could be digging out. He's getting out maybe because the kids forget and leave the gate open. These dogs don't know that they're going to get hit by a car or get lost in the woods or get stolen. I mean, this is what the owner's responsibility is. So if you have a hound dog of any breed, do not let that dog out in a yard, whether it's fenced or unfenced, without being on some sort of line and being supervised closely by you. However, the other thing that you need to do is you need to teach your dog to come when called. You need to also do an emergency recall. You need to teach your dog that if he does get out and he has crossed the street, you need to have a cue to be able to train him to lie down on command and to stay until you can cross the street and go get him. And so that is way too complicated to explain on the radio. Take your dog to an obedience class. Learn how to teach your dog to come when called. Learn how to teach your dog to stay or to go to his place and lie down and stay when you open your door so that you can get out without the dog racing out the door.
Correct.
So take your dogs to obedience classes. Socialize, socialize, socialize. Whether you have a pit bull or you have a Cane Corso or you have any kind of dog, teach your dog who is friend, that everybody is friends, because if you don't, they're going to think everybody's an enemy because
Correct.
They'll be afraid. All right, Karen.
Right on that. You hit the nail right on the head. Really.
Amen, girl. We did good. So I hope everybody was listening. And, Karen, I want to thank you so much. I know you're not feeling well today for doing such a great job on the air. We have next week we're going to start having some experts come on for interviews, and I'm hoping that we get some very well-known experts. We'll keep it a secret until we find out definitely what date she's going to be on.
No, I'm going to reveal the secret.
You are.
I'm going to reveal.
All right, go ahead.
Victoria Stillwell will be visiting our show.
Wow.
I don't have a date right now. I'm still in talks with her. She's going over her schedule, but she'll be letting us know when she's available.
Okay.
And hopefully it'll be sometime in October. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay. So Victoria Stillwell, for anybody that doesn't know, she has a TV program on Animal Planet, and it's called It's Me or the Dog, and she trains very similarly to Karen and I. So I hope you all have a good week, and I want to thank Bob for calling in about the incident in Philadelphia. Karen, I hope you feel better. And I had to let everybody know that it's a beautiful day out there. Take your dogs for a nice long walk today, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop.